Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Last month, California Coastal Commission Chair Steve Kinsey informed Executive Director Charles Lester that the 12-member panel will consider whether to fire him from the position he's held since 2011. A public meeting to dismiss Charles Lester is scheduled for tomorrow at the Inn at Morro Bay. According to the Los Angeles Times, the decision was made at the commission's meeting in Monterey, where the panel met in a closed session for a periodic performance review of the executive director. So why is this happening? Well, the four commissioners who are reportedly behind this are not publicly speaking, but one commissioner told the LA Times that the issue is Lester's job performance and nothing else. This commissioner said, quote, "He was a great number two. He just wasn't the person for the job." The commissioner also cited a lack of vision, an inability to get the most out of staff, and a disappointing lack of diversity in recent hires, end quote. The possible ouster has generated public outrage by 14,000 individuals, 76 environmental groups, 16 Democratic legislators, 35 former commission members, and 153 current staffers. They're all defending Charles Lester, saying the move is a power grab by pro-development forces in the Coastal Commission. The LA Times and San Jose Mercury News editorials have also called on the commission to halt the effort to remove Lester. So what is behind the potential shakeup, and what questions does this raise about the future of California's 1,100-mile coastline? Joining us today is Steve Blank, a retired entrepreneur turned educator and author. Steve served on the California Coastal Commission from 2007 to 2013. He was appointed by former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Steve is former board member of the California League of Conservation Voters and past chair of Audubon, California. And Steve joins us from his office in San Francisco. Hi, Steve.
Thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Me.
It's great
Thanks
to have you.
Yep.
We're also joined by Amy Traynor. She is on her way to that public hearing that's planned at Morro Bay tomorrow on the future of Charles Lester. Amy is former executive director of the West Marin Environmental Action Committee. The committee has teamed up with the Surfrider Foundation and the California Coastal Protection Network to organize against the removal of Charles Lester. And Amy Traynor has been a coastal advocate for the past 5.5 years. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Thank you. I know that you pulled over on the road, so thank you so much for doing that.
So it's my pleasure.
I want to start off just quickly by talking about the California Coastal Commission for maybe people who aren't familiar with what it does. And in a recent LA Times piece, columnist Steve Lopez said that the executive director of the California Coastal Commission is one of the most important jobs in the state at one of the most powerful regulatory agencies in the entire country. So do you agree with that, Steve Blank? Is the Coastal Commission one of the most powerful regulatory agencies in the United States?
Well, only if you care about the coast of California, and only if you care about what gets built on it or your ability to walk on it or use it for recreation, then I guess it would fit right up there. If you don't care about the coast, or if you want to build on it, or you want to build condos or large hotels or put freeways through it, I guess you would hope it would go away and not be the biggest regulatory body in California.
And Amy, what are your thoughts on Steve Lopez's description of the California Coastal Commission?
I think that's fairly accurate. You know, the California coast is quite a magnificent stretch of land where it meets the Pacific Ocean. You know, people fall in love with it. It's known as the Golden Shore, and it generates a $40 billion coastal economy. And because of not only the recreation, the tourism, the fishing, and all of the many uses, like the important uses like public access, you know, this commission has been called the most powerful land use agency, certainly in the country, if not the world. And I do think that's an accurate description.
Well, news of this potential shakeup started appearing in the media last month, and so many people are not really aware of how the commission works, who's on the board, how these decisions are made. But the move to oust Charles Lester, reportedly by four commissioners, has really placed the commission under a magnifying glass. Many people say that this is about something much bigger than just firing the executive director, Charles Lester. It's really about the control of California's coast. So, Steve Blank, again, these four commissioners are not speaking publicly. You have been on the commission. You served on the commission from 2007 to 2013. What's your read of this? Why do you think this possible shakeup is happening?
You know, not only was I a commissioner, I was an applicant as well. And I hired, you know, lobbyists and lobbied commissioners and lobbied, you know, staff. And then I became a commissioner and was on the receiving end of all this stuff. And, you know, what's happening here is for 40 years, as the commission stood between people who wanted to build anything and everything they could get permission for versus what was called the Coastal Act, which was a piece of legislation that got passed that said, you know, the coast is a shared resource for all Californians. You can't put fences on it. And you have to, when you build something, take into account all interests in California, not just your piece of property. That was a pretty, like, far-reaching piece of legislation. And for 40 years, there's been a group called the Coastal Commission that's essentially a regulatory body. Think of it as the Uber zoning agency for the coast. And if you're a developer, you want to get maximum economic advantage out of the piece of property you own. So you hire lobbyists to kind of try to convince the staff and commissioners to do your bidding. And up until now, the lobbyists could argue one project at a time because the majority of the commissioners, that is, they are all politically appointed, 12 commissioners, kind of believed in the purpose of the commission. The staff or the public employees, the 100-plus employees that kind of recommend what the commissioner should do, but the commissioners get to vote on. So the staff recommends, the commissioners decide. But never in the history of the Coastal Commission, 40 years, was there enough votes to remove the head of the staff. In this case, it's called the executive director. And the executive director is the one that's kind of the guardian of the coast. The commission is supposed to be the defender of the public interest of the coast. And now developers have figured out that there's enough people on the commission itself, the commissioners, who no longer have the public interest in mind, and they're willing to gut their own commission for private gain. And I just think that's not good.
And so, again, the four commissioners are not speaking publicly. One commissioner did speak with the LA Times, but said, you know, do not quote me. And the Chronicle reports that insiders have questions about Charles Lester's management style. There have been complaints that he's been unresponsive to commissioners. Some critics have also said that the Coastal Commission staff, which Lester oversees, lacks diversity. Amy, what are your thoughts on that?
I think all of those claims are patently false. And if you look at the record, there is not a single fact, document, or ounce of evidence to support any of these allegations. So, for instance, about you know, the claim that Charles is not a good leader or a good manager, Dr. Lester has accomplished more in his 4.5-year tenure than anybody could ever have imagined. For example, he championed an unprecedented 200-plus page sea-level rise guidance document that helps local cities and counties on the coast manage a changing climate. And for the first time, it addresses the social justice and civil rights issues involved with climate justice issues and impacts on communities of color and underserved communities. That's unprecedented. And then when you look at the diversity numbers, my understanding is that the Coastal Commission's ethnic diversity is nearly 10% higher than the California Resources Agency. So I just think that, you know, these are allegations. There's been absolutely no factual documentation to support any of them. And I think the public is going to show up in force tomorrow in Morro Bay just to say, you know, this is our coast. We love the Coastal Commission. We love its 40-year track record. And to fire Dr. Lester in these circumstances with absolutely no documentation or facts is a real injustice to the community that the coast serves, which is all 40 million Californians.
Charles Lester has been ED since 2011, and he was picked by the outgoing ED, Peter Douglas, who died of lung cancer in 2012. Charles Lester has been a member of the commission's staff since 1997, so he's been around for a while. Now, the board, according to reports, gave him the option of either leaving quietly or ask for a public hearing. He obviously asked for the hearing because it's taking place tomorrow in Morro Bay, which is about 230 miles south of San Francisco. Amy, you're on your way there. What's going to happen at the meeting tomorrow?
Well, I think you're going to see a convergence of people who love the coast, activists, business owners, surfers, the social and civil rights and social justice community. Everybody has a stake in the future of the coast. And we're not only turning out to say, you know, we are the coast belongs to all of us. It is our coastal commons. But also to say, you know, Commission, Dr. Lester, you know, despite all of these allegations and your attempts to fire him, he did take advantage of the Coastal Act's provision that he can request this public hearing. And so in doing so, he's doing that for the public in addition to himself. And he, a week ago Friday, put out a really quite amazing memo where he said, okay, I understand there's concerns, there's maybe frustrations, and we can always do better. But let's move forward in a positive way. Let's collaborate. And he made some great recommendations on the path forward. And I think that's going to be a message that rings loud and clear tomorrow. Like, let's move forward. There's really no basis at all to fire him, to take such a kind of nuclear option, if you will. But there are ways to identify in a very particular way what their concerns are, and then let's move forward with the commission, with the staff, and all the stakeholders together.
And Steve Blank, how will this decision ultimately be decided?
Well, at the end, the 12 commissioners just simply vote on whether to retain Director Lester or not. But, you know, Amy, and for your listeners, what we're getting in real time is a civics lesson that you normally don't get to see in public. And the civic lesson we're watching here is, unfortunately, what's called the regulatory capture. And if I can, I'd like to maybe just give a minute of what that is and
sure.
why it's important.
Sure.
So it turns out when you set up a regulatory agency, you're interested in protecting some kind of public interest. So, for example, and I don't mean to pick on them, but two that people might be familiar with in California are the Insurance Commission. And it is a regulatory agency that's supposed to regulate insurance rates and other things about insurance in California. And then another one we have in California is the Public Utilities Commission. And it's supposed to watch out for all of us who use gas or electricity in California and manage the organizations like PUC or SoCal Edison, et cetera. It turns out, though, there's kind of almost a rule of thumb in public interest that says, on average, 7 years after you set up a regulatory agency, in about 7 years, the people that you're regulating somehow manage to take over that agency. And then instead of managing your interests, all of a sudden they're managing the insurance company's interest or the electricity company's interest. And you go, what the heck happened? How did that happen? And usually that happens in the dark, in corners, with, you know, political deals. And you, as the, you know, poor, like, voter, have no idea what happened to that agency. You're seeing that in real time here in a bright spotlight that's making the people who have interests that are not aligned with most Californians have to operate in a bright light. And what's happening here is an agency that's responsible for managing development on the coast of California is being attempted to being taken over by moneyed interests with much deeper pockets than most Californians have. We're talking about projects worth billions of dollars. The two that are up for now, and I don't mean to pick on them, but there's a project in Southern California called Banning Ranch where must be $1.5 billion or $2 billion worth of houses trying to be built in Northern California. Someone bought a beach called Martin's Beach, a billionaire, and trying to keep it private. These are issues that the Coastal Commission faces, you know, on a monthly basis. and yet somehow has remained independent. But what you're watching is regulatory capture as developers and people with deep pockets try to say, well, we want a commission more reasonable to our interests than in the public interest. And it almost never gets exposed in the public, and this is what we're watching.
Steve Blank served on the California Coastal Commission from 2007 to 2013. He was appointed by former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a former board member of the California League of Conservation Voters and past chair of Audubon, California. Amy Trainer is former ED for the West Marin Environmental Action Committee. They have teamed up with the Surfrider Foundation and the California Coastal Protection Network to organize against the removal of Charles Lester. Amy is on her way to a public hearing that's taking place tomorrow in Morro Bay about the future of the commission's executive director, Charles Lester. According to reports, four commissioners are trying to oust Charles Lester. They are not speaking publicly. Environmentalists say this is happening because Lester will not roll over four commissioners who want to do the bidding of energy and development lobbyists. There's been a massive outcry over this. We have seen 14,000 comments by individuals, 76 environmental groups, 16 Democratic legislators, 35 former commission members, 153 current staffers, major papers are calling on the commission to halt the effort to remove Charles Lester. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. What questions do you have about this? If you've worked with the California Coastal Commission, we'd love to hear from you. If you have been on the side of trying to get something built along the coast and you want to talk about that process, I'll ask Steve about this in a couple minutes. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you'd like to talk about how this process actually works behind closed doors, please share your story. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Steve, not only were you a commissioner from 2007 to 2013, but I understand you have a very large house along the coastline, and you have also hired lobbyists to work on your behalf. So what don't we know about what goes on behind the scenes?
Not only did I hire a lobbyist, I hired all the lobbyists. And so I know exactly how they work. They're coin-operated. They will do their best to get your project approved. The good news or bad news for me is that when I hired lobbyists, and I got introduced to commissioners, and, you know, I got pretty schooled about how they believed the coast should look and their defense of the Coastal Act. I mean, the commissioners who were commissioners when I was building a house in the turn of the century basically were true believers that there really had to be some balance between private property rights and the rights of all Californians. And it actually taught me quite a bit. And then, of course, I encountered the staff. And Peter Douglas himself and his staff came out and walked my property and said, no, you're not going to be able to do X or Y. And, you know, I started with the, well, you can't tell me what to do with my property. And then very quickly learned, yes, they can, just like any zoning agency. And B, then what they were asking for was actually quite reasonable, considering that, you know, this is a shared piece of property with everybody else in the state. And so, I ran into the commission at its best as a homeowner. You know, I started with, you can't tell me anything, and then learned that, no, if you work with the commission and follow the process and be a little patient and reasonable, you could actually build on the coast, though more difficult than building in your local city or town. It was simply zoning and kind of learned the limits of both patience and process at the same time.
And why did you hire lobbyists? What did you pay them to do for you?
Well, you know, like any complicated process, I didn't have the time or knowledge to figure out, which end was up. Same as if you were going in front of a city council, you would love somebody to say, well, here's how it works. And, you know, here's the paperwork you need to fill out, and here's the process you need to go through. You don't particularly need them, but I've tended to, in my whole career, over prepare for things I did. In fact, when I joined as commissioner, the first thing I did was I wrote a 75-page document that says what to do when you get appealed by the Coastal Commission. And so, some of the commissioners weren't quite happy with that, neither was the staff, but I put it online just to help others who went through the process. But at the end of the day, it was just simply a way to facilitate me trying to understand the process. Because at the time, it was impossible to influence commissioners. You got to meet them, and you got to, but they would have met with me anyway, with or without a lobbyist. And by the way, I use the word lobbyist. The lobbyists in front of the Coastal Commission are so powerful, they've managed to convince the state legislature for 40 years to not call them lobbyists. That is, they're officially called agents in front of the Coastal Commission because they've convinced the state legislature that they should not have to be able to disclose who they're taking money from, how much they're getting paid, and who they represent, which may or may not make sense if you're talking about individuals building houses, but these same people are hired by your state and local governments. So your cities and counties are paying these people hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and you have no idea who, what for, what they're doing, etc. Again, that just shows the power of these lobbyists in front of the Coastal Commission.
Amy, what can you tell us about these lobbyists?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First, I do want to kind of update your figures. There are now well over 20,000 letters supporting Dr. Lester. I think there might be 4 in opposition, but well over 20,000 letters in support of Dr. Lester. And there are now nearly 100 social justice, civil rights, and environmental organizations that have come together to support Dr. Lester. You know, my experience is that in the past few years, the lobbyists have been emboldened. They have a much more friendly reception with this commission, shall we say. And there have even been instances where developer lobbyists have walked up to the dais during a hearing, after the public hearing is closed, when the commission is deliberating, handed a set of talking points or conditions, and had a coastal commissioner read those into the record. That is unprecedented, and frankly, that has to change. That serves no one, and certainly it does not serve the public interest, which is a fundamental tenet of the Coastal Act.
And if I can, Amy, let me just double down on that. You know, a lobbyist in kind of a well-balanced organization might advocate on individual projects. But what's gone on here and what's happened in this with these commissioners is they've actually turned the commissioners into lobbyists. And that's where the public kind of fails. That is, lobbyists provide sometimes very useful functions, as I said, to help people navigate the process. It's when they subvert the process, when in fact the public is no longer represented on the commission, when the commissioners now believe their job is to do the lobbyist's job, which is what's happened to this Coastal Commission, that's when everybody fails. And that's, in fact, the point I was making earlier about what's called regulatory capture. That is, that regulatory body is no longer looking out for you. It's looking out for whoever could write the biggest checks. And that's not what the purpose of the Coastal Commission is. The other point, want to make is why this is important now is that, unlike an insurance commission or a public utilities commission where if we change a rate in 2016, that is how much you pay, we might be able to reverse that rate and if someone else protests loud enough. But if you build the sprawling 1,400 unit housing development, or you build the coast wall-to-wall with hotels, they're there forever. It's gone for not only us, but our kids and future generations. Mm. You cannot roll back these decisions that are being made. Try to roll back the Jersey Shore or Miami Beach or fences in Connecticut and Massachusetts and Florida that says you can't walk on my beach. Those don't come back. And that's why people are incensed.
Exactly right. And I think one of the sort of some documentation that supports what Steve and I are saying is on Act Coastal, they've been keeping a voting chart, which has happened periodically throughout the 40-year history of the Coastal Commission. If you look, so it's basically an environmental scorecard, kind of like our legislators are given an environmental scorecard and they're given a social justice scorecard. Well, the Coastal Commissioners have been given a scorecard. And if you look at the figures and the percentage scores for 2014 and you compare them for 2015, there's over a 20% decline in the overall environmental scorecard. And the average score in 2015 was 57%. So basically, our commission is failing the public interest. And in 2015, six of the commissioners had a 42% to a 32%, score, and 74% was the highest. We used to always have commissioners who scored 93, 96. We used to have champions on the Coastal Commission, and I think, you know, I'm just trying to drive home the point that Steve is making about regulatory capture and the process being a little bit subverted. And, you know, Assemblymember Mark Levine actually kind of captured this in his letter to the Coastal Commission, to Chair Kenzie, when he said, you know, before you go and point the finger at the Coastal Commission, who has, you know, Charles has a laundry list of very impressive accomplishments in just the past 4.5 years. And so before you discount that, you really need to take a look at where this commission has been going, removing the low-cost visitor serving requirement from some luxury hotels, things like that that are very problematic, not only from an environmental standpoint, but also a social justice standpoint.
Well, Amy, after the break, I'd like you to elaborate on that scorecard, and we'll also talk about the four commissioners who are reportedly trying to oust Executive Director Charles Lester from the California Coastal Commission. Amy Trainer is former ED with the West Marin Environmental Action Committee, and Steve Blank served on the California Coastal Commission from 2007 to 2013. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
There are many ways you can participate in today's conversation on Your Call. On the telephone, by sending an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org, or by going to yourcallradio.org website. If you'd like to participate in today's program by telephone, call us at 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. Coming up in a half an hour, it's World Heavier Say from the BBC. We'll hear voices from Aleppo, Syria. What's it like working with dyslexia, and South Africa's President Jacob Zuma, and how he's repaying taxpayers for some money that he spent? It's coming up on World Heavier Say from the BBC, half hour from now here on KALW.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, David Talbot will join us to talk about his new book, The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. Talbot reports that Dulles manipulated and subverted the administrations he served from 1953 to 1961 to push his own agenda as CIA director. He also says the national security state is much more powerful today. So how much power does the CIA have over our democracy? On Thursday, we will have a conversation about efforts to support independent contractors who are working for companies like Uber and TaskRabbit. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you'd like to join us today, we are talking about efforts to oust the California Coastal Commission Executive Director Charles Lester. If you appreciate our beautiful coastline, you'll really want to tune in to hear what's happening right now. Four commissioners are repeatedly trying to get rid of Lester. They're not speaking publicly. Environmentalists say this is happening because Lester won't roll over for commissioners who want to do the bidding of energy and development lobbyists. There's going to be a public meeting tomorrow in Morro Bay, and Amy Trainer is on her way there now. She's former ED with the West Marin Environmental Action Committee. We're also joined by Steve Blank, a former commissioner with the California Coastal Commission. He served from 2007 to 2013. He was appointed by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can join us at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you work on these issues, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, the main question that this raises is who should determine the future of California's 1,100-mile coastline? What are your thoughts on that? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from KDF in Oakland. Hi, KDF. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rose. I have two questions. The first is, if the CCC is powerful, why are they still allowing the Maverick Surf Contest to discriminate against women? Why are not women included in the contest? The second question is, this morning, somebody from TURN said on forum that if the current director, Dr. Lester, is fired, that one result could be fracking off the California coast. I would appreciate answers to both questions.
Okay, thank you. Amy, do you know about Mavericks? I've seen headlines. I don't know the details, but they're facing pressure to, quote, allow women to take part in the surfing contest.
Right. So on both of these questions, the first thing, what I know about Mavericks is that the Coastal Commission has worked out a positive agreement with Mavericks to strongly encourage and, if not outright, require them to have women. And if there's a reason that there haven't been women in Mavericks in recent years, it's because of Mavericks. So I don't believe it's because the commission hasn't been requiring that, but I'm not sure of all the technical details. To the question about fracking, so I don't think there's any fracking allowed. You know, state waters go out 3 miles from the high tide line, and then federal waters go from there out to 200 miles. And so fracking has taken place in federal waters. One of the great powers that the Coastal Commission have is what's called the federal consistency determination. And so when a federal agency proposes, whether it's the Navy to do sonar blasting and impact cetaceans and other marine mammals, or offshore fracking that could have all kinds of consequences and unintended consequences, those federal agencies that are proposing those actions have to submit that proposal to the Coastal Commission, and then the Coastal Commission has authority to impose conditions, if not recommend outright denial. And so certainly that is, I don't think anybody wants to see offshore fracking, but again, if you lose a leader like Dr. Lester, there are unintended consequences, and we really don't know what would happen, and frankly, that's just too great of a risk to take.
All right. Well, thank you for that phone call. Let's go next to Ross Mercurimi, who was appointed Coastal Commissioner back in 2009. Hi, Ross. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Good morning. It's great that you're having this show, and it's good to hear Steve Blank, a fellow commissioner, and how clear and lucid he is, I think, about the dilemma. I take it from a different perspective. I was one of those commissioners. I was appointed by the state Senate. I actually had a 100% scorecard from the environmental organizations, and I was one of those commissioners who was around when Peter Douglas's health was failing and Charles Lester was beginning to serve as interim, and I thought Charles Lester wasn't strong enough from an environmental perspective. And so any effort that tries to remove Charles Lester just, I think, doubles the impact of what they're trying to do to dilute the impact of the Coastal Commission. I think we should have more stronger advocates, but I think Charles Lester needs to be defended and he needs to be retained.
And Ross, based on the 2 years you spent on the commission, what did you learn about what goes on behind the scenes with developers and lobbyists and the power of commissioners that most people aren't even aware of?
Well, mind you, I was also an active member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors at the time, and so I had both a municipal and a state perspective. The Coastal Commission arguably is the strongest land use body in the state of California, and it has that jurisdiction of all counties, and it reaches deep into the interior that many people don't know about that supersede local land use authority. With the exception of the San Francisco Bay Area that is governed by BCDC, all the other counties, really, their planning decisions are superseded potentially by the Coastal Commission. And so any example of greed or the friction and tensions about housing crisis and development on a local level, you couldn't believe how much more magnified and amplified they are on the coastal shelf itself. And the money that pours in on all sides that really tries to influence commissioners and the legislative or the executive arm of the state government that also tries to get to those commissioners is what's telling. And you have to disclose that through the ex parte process. Every commissioner must disclose who he has been influenced or contacted by to try to sway their vote. And I think that will be very telling tomorrow about the commissioners and what their motivations and intents are for trying to remove Dr. Lester.
Well, Ross, thank you for calling in. That is Ross Mercurimi. He was appointed to the California Coastal Commission in 2009. He's former sheriff of San Francisco and former San Francisco supervisor. Thank you for calling. Since Ross brought up former commissioners, Amy, what can you tell us about the four commissioners who are reportedly trying to oust Charles Lester? Wendy Mitchell, according to the Cron, is apparently the leader of this ousting attempt. She was appointed by former Governor Schwarzenegger. And then you've got Martha McClure, Effie Turnbull Sanders, and Eric Howell, who were all appointed by Governor Jerry Brown.
Yeah, so that is what all of the stories have been saying. You know, usually there's a lot of truth to that. And if you look, for instance, at their at the voting chart and those four governor appointees' scores, they certainly are among the lowest. Martha McClure is at 32%, Wendy and Ms. Turnbull Sanders are at 33%, and Mr. Howell's at 42%. So certainly their votes and presumably the influence of a more pro-development force is being shown through their conservation vote score. And it's troubling. It's very troubling.
Steve, why do you think Governor Brown has been quiet so far? Mark Massara, a conservationist who's been following the Coastal Commission for many years, told Capital Weekly, quote, "One word from Governor Brown would put an end to this instantly. It's mystifying that he's not taking a stronger stance on this," end quote.
Well, it's probably worth just spending 30 seconds thinking about who these commissioners are and how they end up on the Coastal Commission and the governor's role. Turns out these 12 commissioners, four are appointed by the essentially the head of the Senate, four by the head of the Assembly, and four by the governor. But the Senate and Assembly appointments are for fixed four-year terms that could be renewed. That is, they can't be replaced inside those 4 years and therefore can't be influenced other than their good conscience. But the four governor's appointees, the four that just got mentioned, can be replaced overnight. And so the question people are asking is, obviously, the governor, if he was unhappy with this direction of the commissioners, could make an immediate and obvious change, signaling his intent. You know, Governor Brown, I really don't mean to make this a soliloquy, but I think has been the best governor in the last 50 years, since perhaps even his father. You know, he's brought fiscal responsibility to the state. He's kind of gotten our budget back in balance, or money back to our universities, and I think has done all the right stuff. And I just think on this one, he's been incredibly poorly advised by the people around him in what's called the horseshoe. You know, I just think if he had the facts in front of him, he would make the right decision. Because at the end of the day, as physically responsible as he's been, people don't build statues to accountants. No one's going to be talking in 40 years about, gee, that budget of 2015, wasn't that a great budget? People are going to be driving our coast and having one or two reactions. They're either going to say, this was the governor that sold out the coast of California to a series of developers. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to say, here was the far-sighted guy who wrote the initial signed the initial Coastal Act, and when push came to shove, defended it so we could all see it and could all enjoy it. And I think that's what's at stake for the governor's legacy. And I hope he gets good advice, and here's the people in California saying this matters to them.
Amy, what are your thoughts on this? He's under a lot of pressure to speak up on this, and so far he's been silent.
Well, I mean, certainly it's unfortunate. You know, our coast needs him. Californians are rallying around the esteemed leader, Dr. Charles Lester, of the Coastal Commission, and for good reason. And so it is a little baffling, you know, that he has this, it's his legacy, right? Just like Steve said, 40 years ago in 1976, Governor Jerry Brown, in his first term, first administration, signed the California Coastal Act into being. And now here it is. It's really at a tipping point, and this, you know, potential far-reaching, you know, moment. Are we going to have the next 40 years, you know, largely a successful coastal program like we have had? Or are we going to open it up and have a free-for-all? Because it's really kind of a black and white. When you look at the direction the Coastal Commission has been going, and I know I've watched plenty of Coastal Commission hearings. You know, these are, they're tough issues. But at the end of the day, the Coastal Act is very clear. You protect sensitive resources. You protect a magnificent scenic viewshed. You protect, above all else, public access for all Californians. These are pretty simple tenets. And so, assuming that he believes in those, and, you know, if he, I think like Steve said, if he had the facts, I would like to believe that he would do the right thing. And I really hope that he comes around, and tomorrow at the hearing, the public is given the opportunity to share our heartfelt feelings about this, because, you know, it's of grave concern. We have a lot to lose our coastal commons to developers. But I am very hopeful that, again, Dr. Lester has proposed a path forward to say, let's work in collaboration, let's pinpoint, you know, there's been no specifics so far, but let's identify those specific pieces, and let's move forward on a collaborative path, because that truly is in the best interest of the coast and of all Californians.
Amy Traynor is former executive director of the West Marin Environmental Action Committee. She's on her way to that public hearing. It's taking place at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in Morro Bay. And I'm receiving a couple of emails about where to send an email. Amy said that the commission has already received 20,000 comments. You can email status of executive director at coastal.ca.gov. That is status of executive director at coastal.ca.gov. You can also find information about the hearing at coastal.ca.gov. We're also joined by Steve Blank. He served on the California Coastal Commission from 2007 to 2013. Steve is a former board member of the California League of Conservation Voters and a past chair of Audubon, California. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We're talking today about efforts to oust California Coastal Commission Executive Director Charles Lester. And let's go next to Bill. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that there were some developments built before the Coastal Commission that probably would not have been, but I think have damaged our coast, and people should remember how much better it's been. Case in point, Diablo Canyon nuclear plant, San Onofre nuclear plant, and the marina at, Dana Point, where they destroyed one of the great surf spots in California. If we had had a coastal commission when all three of those things were being considered, I don't think they would have happened, and both of those nuclear plants have been disasters for consumers and Californians. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you. Who'd like to comment on that one, Steve?
Well, you know, I think the Coastal Commission has been a 40-year experiment for not only the people of California, but the rest of the United States and for people in the world. That is, no one else had the vision and wisdom to kind of put a coastal act together that said this is a shared resource, and you can't wall off the beach, you can't own it, you could share it, and you can't build anything you want. There are limits, and you know, rightly so, people in 1976 said, well, that's going to destroy the economy of California, that's going to, you know, destroy the coast. And now we could just simply look at the California coast. You could drive from Half Moon Bay to Santa Cruz, 40 miles, not a single stoplight. You could drive from Cambria to Carmel, 145 miles, not a single light. People come from all over the world to appreciate what we've saved here. And I just think that the data is in from the experiment. This worked for everybody. Everybody in California has benefited, and it's become the jewel of the nation, not just the state.
And Amy, can we talk about specifics here? Because according to reports, you have staffers recommending one thing and then the commissioner's doing something else. So, for example, last March, Coastal Commission staff recommended against a residential development on oceanfront property in Seal Beach, citing the ways in which it violated the Coastal Act, but the commissioners gave their approval. In October, staff recommended that public access be guaranteed if a Malibu Beach replenishment project failed and wiped out an access point. The commissioners rejected that requirement. So is that what you're talking about when you're looking at the track record of the commissioners in 2014 versus 2015?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think what a lot of the handful of activists that follow the Coastal Commission closely, what we've been seeing and what we're saying is, you know, more and more, we're seeing instances where the Coastal Commission staff puts forward a staff report and a recommendation that is objective, technical, scientific, and that obeys the letter of the law for the Coastal Act. But then you have the commissioners, for whatever reason, for influence or personal reasons, whatever it may be, overruling those objective sort of tenets that and conditions that are meant to be imposed on the development to uphold the act. And again, it brings, you know, it raises a larger point. Dr. Lester is not a no development on the coast, as former Supervisor Ross Mercurimi said. In some ways, people think maybe he's not environmental enough. But there are instances where he and his staff work very hard to find that line to say, you know, you can develop, you can take advantage of your property rights, but you have to meet these conditions because there are sensitive resources or there's critical public access that needs to be preserved. And it's when the commission overrules the staff, which is led by Dr. Lester, that's when it's been problematic.
Another high-profile case is getting attention. In fact, the New York Times covered this yesterday. The commission, after nearly a decade of resistance from environmentalists, last year approved the construction of a five-house compound by Dave Evans, the lead guitarist of U2, who is known as The Edge. It was on a pristine bluff of oceanfront land in Malibu. And according to the New York Times and so many other reports, Wendy Mitchell, who is a commissioner, she didn't respond to emails requesting comment, but she posted a photo on her Facebook page in which she posed with The Edge and his wife after the project was approved and wrote, quote, "They're very nice people. I'm only sorry it took them 10 years to get approval of their home," end quote. And she has since taken that image down.
Well, the problem, what that photo and her quote highlighted, need to the full picture here is that Peter Douglas called that proposal the five enormous mansions owned by five separate people on a pristine bluff full of sensitive habitat in Malibu. He called it one of the three most egregiously destructive projects or something to that effect, but one of the worst project proposals he'd ever seen. And so, you know, again, staff is trying, you know, they're getting pressure from the commission undoubtedly to, like, you know, find a way to let them build their mansions on this, in this sensitive habitat. You know, Sierra Club has now sued. I wasn't that heavily, well, I wasn't very involved at all. I just, you know kind of the margins of that project. But I do think it highlights, you know, this tension and where there can be a real clash between environmental protection, the staff trying, you know, to say, no, this project doesn't meet the Coastal Act, and then perhaps the commissioners at some level coming in and pressuring staff to say, you know, no, you need to make this happen. So I don't know the behind the scenes on that, but you can kind of surmise that there was some of that going on.
And Steve pointed to an upcoming vote. It's happening next month. It's one of the largest coastal development proposals that has ever come before the commission. 1,100 acres at Banning Ranch on Newport Beach. The project is said to be worth over $1 billion. It's stirred a lot of opposition, according to the New York Times. And I'm wondering, Amy, you've been an advocate for 5.5 years. What changes have you seen as we've seen a lot more money coming to the state? You say that historically, people with money have tried to cut off public access if they live on the water, for example. But what other changes are you seeing?
Well, I think it's, you know, there have always been wealthy beachfront owners who either unlawfully had blocked public access But now that has been removed thanks to the Administrative Penalty Authority that a law signed in a couple of years ago by Governor Brown and championed by the Coastal Commission staff and the commission, honestly. But the commission staff have really championed that. They haven't levied a single fine, and they've opened up numerous access points in Malibu, kind of the heart of wealthy beachfront coastal area, where people had literally put up signs saying no trespassing, you know, no beach access, when in fact their development permit had a condition to require public access. So that was a major social justice victory from what my colleagues in the social justice community tell me. So that cannot be discounted. I think other changes are, you know, there are some of these last remaining stretches of pristine coastline, like the Banning Ranch area. There's a conservancy trying to buy the property rather than having it littered with 900 or 1,400 homes, whatever the case may be. I think in the past, the commission was much more receptive and much more rigorous in a way about adhering to protection of environmentally sensitive habitat and scenic view sheds. And I think that's what is one of the concerns that not only it has lacked, but that if you take Dr. Lesser out of his leadership role, you know, a lot of the senior staff would probably go. And that's all this institutional memory and all of this commitment to our coast and to our coastal program, protection program, would be gone. And, you know, that's why everybody's worried and why hundreds of people are going to show up tomorrow to say, you know, wait a minute, please don't do this.
And Steve Blank, final thoughts from you, about a minute.
Yeah, if I can, I think Banning Ranch is a proxy for what's going on here. There are billions at stake. This is a game of follow the money. All you need is a more reasonable, and I put reasonable in quotes, executive director, and someone could save tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. That's why this is being gamed out. And I should remind your listeners that you opened the program with a comment from the LA Times where an undisclosed commissioner talked about the specifics about the issues with executive director Lester. Those were brought up in closed session, so that commissioner violated the Brown Act in disclosing those things to the public. And I think this is the type of character assassination that they've been trying to do to remove Charles Lester. I think the people of California need to stand up and be heard here.
Steve Blank served on the California Coastal Commission from 2007 to 2013. Amy Traynor is former executive director of the West Marin Environmental Action Committee. The public hearing takes place at 10 o'clock in Morro Bay tomorrow, and you can email your thoughts to statusofexecutivedirector@coastal.ca.gov. Steve and Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, David Talbot joins us to discuss his new book, The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. Mind control, torture, and massive surveillance began under the reign of former CIA Director Alan Dulles, who served from 1953 to 1961. Talbot argues that the national security state is much more powerful today. So how much power does the CIA have over our democracy? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you.